already here in Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. It's going to talk about our use of our gifts in the service of God and in His church. Verses 9 to the end of the chapter have a number of very brief exhortations to God's people related especially to how we deal with one another, show love to the neighbor. All of that falls under this overarching calling of the Christian life. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your minds. Let's consider that word of God tonight, taking as our theme, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. First, let's consider the meaning of that. Secondly, the manner in which we carry that out. And then thirdly, the motivation for doing so. The main controlling thought of these two verses is stated in verse 1, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Text speaks there of the presenting of our bodies to God. And it speaks of our bodies as representative of the whole of life lived here on this earth. And that's the case because it's through our bodies that the whole of our life comes to manifestation in this world. At the time in which the apostle wrote this word of God, the Roman Christians were facing a wicked world where the ungodly presented their bodies in the service of sin. Life was lived for self. It was lived for pleasure. Perhaps that was gluttony or drunkenness or fornication. And the parallels to our day and age today are very easy to see. All of that true of the world in which we live at present. And the apostle says, in the midst of a world that's presenting its bodies to the service of sin, you, as Christians, are to present your bodies to God. All of life lived in His service. Parallel in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We're to present our bodies as a sacrifice to God. That word, sacrifice, as well as the last word in verse 1, translated service, which is really a word that refers to worship. Both of those words, sacrifice and service or worship, are alluding to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the worship of God centered on the sacrifice system, the sacrifice of all kinds of dead animals. Now, in the New Testament, that whole sacrificial system has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not mean that there are no sacrifices to be made anymore by New Testament Christians. There are sacrifices that we make. Not those external sacrifices, but spiritual sacrifices. And the sacrifice is the sacrifice of ourselves, the presenting of our bodies and the whole of our earthly life as a sacrifice of worship, service, worship to our God. It's not just on the Sabbath day then that the child of God worships. This is, of course, the primary way in which our worship of God comes to expression, but really the whole of the life of a child of God is worship. And it's worship because at its heart, it's the sacrifice of ourselves to the service of God. There's a number of characteristics that the text sets forth in describing that sacrifice. First of all, it's referred to as a living sacrifice. And that's an important qualifier here to distinguish our New Testament sacrifice from the Old Testament sacrifices. The Old Testament sacrifices were the sacrifice of dead animals. The sacrifice of the New Testament Christian is not a dead animal. It's not necessarily the laying down of one's own life, although we do that if God calls us to that. But it's a living sacrifice. It's the offering of ourselves in the entirety of our life to God. In addition, what that word living conveys is that this sacrifice is not something done merely once, and that's all. It's not, for instance, the laying down of our life when we make confession of faith and we vow to serve God, and that's really the end. That idea of a living sacrifice is conveying this is perpetual, this is continual, this is lifelong for the Christian. There's not a moment where we're not called by God to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to Him. Second, it describes that sacrifice as a holy sacrifice. And the idea of holiness, as you're well aware, means to be separated from what's common or what's unclean and corrupt, and to be devoted and consecrated to God in a unique, special way. And that indicates the character of this sacrifice. It's the sacrifice of ourselves in holiness to God, being separated from what's unclean and sinful, and to be entirely consecrated to the service of our God. Third, this is a sacrifice acceptable unto God. And that word literally means well-pleasing. It's a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. This is what is pleasing to God when His redeemed children offer themselves up as a lifelong, living sacrifice to Him. And then fourth, it refers to this sacrifice as your reasonable service. The word reasonable literally means rational or logical. It's a rational, logical service or worship of God. That's not intending to convey that it's merely intellectual. The point of that is to counteract any notion of the Christian life as being merely external, formal, ceremonial. That was the view that the unbelieving Jews had of earthly life. That's the view of the unbelieving pagan Gentiles amongst whom the Roman Christians lived. They had a view of mere externals and formality, doing the right thing externally, no matter where one's heart and soul was. By saying this is our reasonable, rational, logical service, the Word of God is saying this has to be sincere. It has to be a matter of the heart and of the mind. It's something that's conscious in the child of God. Not merely going through the motions, simply to go through the motions, but it's an intelligent, conscious, sincere service and worship of God. This is the over arching calling of the Christian life at every point and in every circumstance. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. The text is not in the form of a description. It's not saying, here's the Christian life, this is what it entails, but it's in the form of a warm, pastoral exhortation and urging. I beseech you, brothers and sisters, present your bodies a living sacrifice. This Word of God needs to be pressed home to us then. That urgent exhortation needs to be applied to our hearts and our consciences. Is this characteristic of your life? Or are there certain areas of your earthly life that are not presently being presented to God as a living sacrifice? Perhaps it's the case with respect to the enjoyment of food. Is that area of our life not being presented as a sacrifice to God, but rather are we gluttonous? Perhaps that area of life is our use of alcohol. Is that area of our life presented as a living sacrifice to God? Or there are times in our life where we're drunken, or perhaps not drunk, but our life is one of dependence upon alcohol. We don't drink to excess, but we need a drink. We can't cope with life without a drink. Is it the area of our sexuality? What we view on a screen? How we live in our life? That area of our life, a sacrifice acceptable, holy to God? Are we indulging secretly in pornography or actually carrying out physical fornication? Perhaps it's the use of our gifts, as Romans 12 goes on to describe. Are we using those gifts as we ought, or are we lazy? Not using those gifts as we ought. There's application, as the rest of Romans 12 goes on, to our interactions with others of God's people, as our relationships with others and the way in which we deal with others, a living sacrifice to God. Or are we guilty of gossip, hateful, angry words, selfishness, and a selfish disregard for others? Are there areas of our life that are not being presented as a living sacrifice to God? Christian life is a sacrifice. Don't lose sight of the fact that the Word of God uses that particular word. It's a sacrifice. The Christian life is not what's easiest for me. It's not what am I comfortable with and where are my comfort zones. It's not whether I feel like it at this moment or not. The Christian life is a sacrifice. The Christian life is daily dying to self. It's taking up a cross and it's following after the Lord Jesus Christ. It's radical self-denial, saying no to self, selfishness, sinful lust. It's uncomfortable. It's difficult. It's demanding. And in many respects, entirely unattractive. God lays this calling before you and me. With every aspect of your being, every relationship, every circumstance of life, present your body as a living sacrifice to God. Your eyes are not for viewing evil. Present your eyes as a living sacrifice to God. Your ears are not for hearing evil, in your mouth not for speaking evil. Present your ears and your mouth as a living sacrifice to God. Your hands, not meant to engage in sin. Your feet, not meant to walk in the way of sin. Present your hands and your feet as a living sacrifice to God. Your heart, out of which are all of the issues of life. It's not for self and it's not for sin. Present your heart as a living sacrifice to God. I beseech you, brothers and sisters, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy, well-pleasing, which is your reasonable worship of God. Having set forth that main controlling thought in verse 1, the Word of God goes on in verse 2 to describe the specific manner in which we carry that out. And it does so by setting forth the negative and the positive. First of all, the negative, the beginning of verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. The child of God cannot present his body as a living sacrifice to God if he's being conformed to this world. The word for world here is not the ordinary word in the New Testament for world. It's a word that literally means age. And it stands in contrast what the Bible calls the age to come, eternal life ushered in by the Lord Jesus Christ for His beloved church. In contrast to that is this age, all of which is temporary, passing, and is characterized by the sinfulness of men. World is a legitimate translation and a good interpretation of what's being said here. And it's describing the character of life in this age, apart from God, and really at any point in history in which the church is found. 1 John 2, verses 16 and 17, warning us to love not the world. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. What characterizes this age, this world, is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The warning is that we not be conformed to this world. The idea is that something's conformed to something else. It's fashioned after the pattern of something else. There's a similarity between the one and the other. Be conformed to this world would mean that a person in his character and in his actions is shaped after the fashion of this sinful age. That there's some corresponding, some similarity between the way he's thinking, talking, acting, and the way in which the unbelieving world thinks, talks, and acts. This is presented negatively as a warning. Do not be conformed to this world. The Word of God puts it that way, understanding the reality often for us as children of God that we are conformed, and we need to hear that negative warning, because what's understood is that we're often prone to be conformed to this world. In certain ways, that might be obvious. In other ways, that might be more subtle, where we ourselves might not even be aware of that, where in our thinking and in our attitudes and in our priorities, subtly we've conformed to the thinking and the attitudes and the priorities of this world. Again, there's cause here for careful self-examination. Are there areas of our lives that are in conformity to this world? Is it the way in which we think about ourselves, think about others, think about life in the church? Is it with respect to our entertaining of ourselves? Is that in conformity to this world? Is it the way in which we speak to one another, about one another? The way in which we interact and we speak to one another, about one another, is like the world would speak and act. This may not be, not for us as children of God. We live right in the midst of this world. The Word of God's not telling us to run far away from that. We're right here in this world, but we must resist any influence of being conformed to this world. There may not be a spiritual similarity between my life and the spirit of this sinful age. I may not think and speak and act like the sinful, unbelieving world thinks and speaks and acts. If that is the case, then I cannot be presenting my body as a living sacrifice to God. This is the specific manner in which we carry that out. And from a negative point of view, if we're conforming to this world, we are not presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. We're not dying to self. We're living to self and indulging in all of the lusts of our flesh. Do not be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's the positive manner of our presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. What does it mean for us as children of God? How do we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God? Being transformed by the renewing of our mind. The mind here is more than just the brain. The mind in Scripture is closely related to the heart, the soul. It's the seat of our spiritual existence. It's what makes possible knowing God and knowing how we're to live in relation to God. By nature, our mind and the mind of all men is in darkness, in the darkness of sin and unbelief. We don't know God with a true saving knowledge, and we don't know rightly our life in relation to Him. It's by the wonder of regeneration and the saving call that our minds, once darkened in sin, are illuminated. There's a light that shines in the mind of the child of God so that he begins to think rightly, clearly. He knows God with a saving knowledge, and he knows his own relation to God. The text speaks of the renewal of the mind. Our minds, as children of God, have already been renewed in principle through our regeneration. What was once in darkness has been illuminated by the light of God. What it's referring to here is the ongoing, daily renewal of the mind of the child of God. Though renewed in principle, there's so much of sin, there's so much of this world that still clings to and still influences our mind and our thinking. And the mind of the Christian continually needs to be renewed then. That renewal is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit sanctifying our minds. And the Holy Spirit does so by means of the Word. Our minds continually need to be renewed by truth. We live in the midst of a world that's characterized by lie. If our minds begin to believe the lies of this world, then our lives are going to be in conformity to this world. The mind of the Christian continually needs to be renewed by the truth. It needs to hear the truth of God's Word. It needs to know the truth about who God is. Needs to be renewed in the truth of the gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be renewed by the truth of who I am in the light of God's Word and what it means to live in this world. There's always growth in the mind and in the thinking of the child of God. We've never come to a point of knowing it all, where we never stand to be reminded of these things. We constantly need to have the truth of God's Word applied by the Spirit to our minds. And it's by the renewal of our minds that the life of the child of God is transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Literally, that word is the figurative word from which we get our English word metamorphosis, a word that we use to describe the change of a caterpillar into a butterfly. It undergoes a metamorphosis, this profound change. And that word metamorphosis is describing the Spirit's sanctifying of us as children of God. That same word is used in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, transformed, metamorphosized into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The way in which God is pleased to work in our lives is through the mind and the heart of the child of God out into His life. As our minds are renewed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of truth, that then transforms the whole of our life. Our life is governed by the Word of God and the truth of God's Word, so that the way in which I live is in the light of who God is, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in my salvation, who I am. All of the truths of God's Word govern, guide the life of the child of God in this world. The text puts this in the form of an imperative, a command: be ye transformed. Certainly true that transformation, sanctification, is the sovereign work of God by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit transforms, metamorphosizes us. In doing so, the Holy Spirit makes us alive, active, conscious. Not that then the work becomes His work and our work, but it's His work in and through us in such a way that we ourselves become alive and active and conscious. And there's a necessary place for the setting before us as children of God of the calling, be ye transformed. This is something that we need to hear all of our life long. Sanctification is an ongoing, it's a lifelong work of the Holy Spirit. There's no place in the Christian life for a spiritual complacency, indifference, simply resting on what we think are our proud achievements in the Christian life. Life of the child of God ought to be one of humble recognition, of a constant need for growth, so that in every area of our life, by the grace of God, we grow more and more spiritually. This is the manner in which we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God by being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Help understand that and set forth what that involves more plainly. The text goes on and says, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the result, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. The will of God that's being spoken of here is what we call the will of God's command. It's His law. It's what He demands of us as to how we are to live in the midst of this world. That will of God is good. It's good because it's the revelation of the will of God who is perfectly good. And God's will is always good for us. Sin is the evil way. It's the way of destruction. It's the way of misery. God's way is the good way. God's will is acceptable. It's the same word used earlier, well-pleasing. God's will for how we are to live, what He demands of us, is acceptable. It's well-pleasing to God. And it's perfect. And the idea there is that it has a good end and it has a good goal. That is the ultimate perfection of the child of God in heavenly glory. We're to prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. That word prove can have several shades of meaning, both of which are appropriate here. The idea of prove can have the idea of discern. By the renewing of our mind, the Word of God and the work of the Holy Spirit, the result of that is that the child of God is able to discern what is the will of God. We know what God's will is for our life. We may not know what occupation we're supposed to have or whether we're going to get married or not, but we know God's will. We know what He commands of us. This is how we're to live as a Christian, whatever our circumstances of life are. Renewed by our mind, we're able to discern the will of God. Or that word prove can mean to approve. And the idea then is that the child of God, whose mind is renewed by the working of the Holy Spirit, comes to know that in his own life and by his own experience, God's way is the good way. The way of sin, that's the way of misery. God's way, that's the good way. And again, this is the manner in which we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. not by being conformed to this world, then we're not presenting our bodies as a sacrifice to Him. We present our bodies as a sacrifice to God by being transformed through the renewing of our minds. And with our minds renewed by the working of the Holy Spirit through His Word, we're able to discern what is the will of God for us. We come to know that that way is right and good. And in doing so, then, we present our bodies as a sacrifice of thanks to Him. Do not be conformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Text teaches us what is our motivation in living that life of daily sacrifice to God. That's indicated in a couple of ways in verse 1. First of all, by the use of that word, therefore. It's a word drawing a conclusion, something that's said before. Now there's this conclusion that's drawn from that. And the conclusion is really everything that's been said in the whole of the doctrinal section of the book of Romans. Everything about justification by faith alone, union with Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, our election in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, all of that being true, what that means for the child of God, present your body, a living sacrifice to Him. And then secondly, that motivation is indicated by the urging of God's people by the mercies of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That word mercies literally means viscera, guts. It's a word that's often used in the Bible to describe the deepest emotions, because that's where we feel them. Feel the deepest emotions in our guts. The word then has the idea of compassions or mercies or pities. I beseech you, brethren, speak in a holy way by the guts of God, by the mercies, the compassions, the deepest eternal attributes of God Himself toward us. And that summarizes the entirety of our salvation. Our salvation is not by merit, it's by mercies. It's not by conditions, it's by compassions. It's by the mercies of God, the manifold, wondrous mercies of God that we've been saved. Therefore, in gratitude, present your body as a living sacrifice to God. The mercies of God explain the possibility of the child of God living this life. Apart from the mercies of God in saving us, we would be forever enslaved in the bondage of sin and service to the devil and the pursuit of the lusts of the flesh and conformity with this world that's very quickly passing away. By the mercies of God that we've been delivered from that, by the mercies of God that the Lord Jesus Christ has given Himself as a sacrifice for our sins at the cross. It's by the mercies of God that we're united to Him in His death and His resurrection. By the mercies of God that we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that we're delivered from that bondage and set free into the liberty of God's people so that we begin to live not for self, but for Him. by the mercies of God that that's possible, and it's the mercies of God that are our motivation to do so. Undoubtedly, you find, beloved, at times that the Christian life is a grind. Seem as if there's no progress. There's discouragement as we battle sin and the same sins that keep cropping up again and again in our lives. We may feel as if there's no joy in the Christian life that we live. And that's why we need to rest at the foot of the cross. Behold the mercies of God. And there we behold the sacrifice that's entirely unique. A sacrifice that you and I could never offer to God. The perfect sacrifice acceptable to God. It was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ in giving Himself to death. In order to deliver us from the bondage of sin, and to bless us with all the blessings of salvation. What mercies. What compassions. Knowing the mercies of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the sacrifice Christ made for you, offer yourself as a living sacrifice of thanks to God. I beseech you, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how manifold are Thy mercies. Thy compassions fail not. We thank Thee for the demonstration of that and the sacrifice of Thy Son. We pray that Thou wilt apply that precious gospel truth to our hearts. And then lead us in thanks to live for Thee. Give us the grace to deny ourselves, daily dying to self. And transform us by the renewing of our minds. To that end, bless the preaching of the gospel here tonight. Cause it to serve the renewal of our minds, and then by that, the transforming of our lives from sin to Thy service. In mercy, Father, forgive us of all of our failures and our shortcomings. We cling alone to the cross of our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen. Sing Psalter number 426. 426. Sing in stanza 9, I am, O Lord, Thy servant, bound yet free, Thy handmaid son, whose shackles Thou hast broken. Redeemed by grace, I'll render as a token of gratitude my constant praise to Thee. Let's sing 1, 3, 9, and 10. 1, 3, 9, and 10. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Amen.
Pray that you were edified by the preaching of the gospel today. Please join us for worship if you are ever in the area. For more information about our church, beliefs, or worship times, please visit our website at prccrete.org.